Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border. I'm Nicholas, and what we're doing here is going through the Bible, book by book, chapter by chapter, and verse by verse. That's the mainstay of this broadcast, though sometimes we like to go off on a topic or take a little time to discuss current events and how they fit into prophecy reality. Today is not one of those days. We're going to be starting a new book today. We're going to be starting the book of Lamentations. We recently went through Jeremiah, then Ezekiel, and now Lamentations all seem to be fitting for the time that we're living in. We're not quite into the Lamentations yet, but we are into the demise of a nation in judgment and entering a period of perhaps stiffer judgment. Things are changing rapidly around us. We have a financial judgment. We have a judgment of people going into slavery, and that's been going on for over the last 100 years. The nation has become a nation of tribute, where it used to be a nation of free people, but they left off the principles of our Heavenly Father, and they left off the principles by which a nation should be run. And those founding principles, those lamb-like principles, those biblical principles for running a nation, which were integral, which were a very important part of what made this nation great. And that greatness continued for a while, but now we see that because the people have turned away from their Creator, that judgment has come. Now the people are pretty much in abject slavery. They're all tributaries, paying anywhere from 50 to 80% of everything they labor for. And remember this, your labor is a gift from God. That's right. The labor that you have, that you exercise, is a gift from God. When the Almighty gives you life, He gives you labor with your life. And that labor is a gift for you. It's for you to work hard and enjoy the things that this life has to offer. To work hard and to feed the poor. And of course, charity begins at home. And so taking care of your own family and providing for your own is a very important part of what you're supposed to do with that labor. And like I said, charity begins at home. Good friend James wrote in his epistle that true religion, that's what he said, true religion. And speaking of true religion, there's a very popular video out there. Don't waste your time going to watch it. It's called Why I Love Jesus, But I Hate Religion. But James wrote in his epistle that true religion is taking care of the widows and the orphans. And what he was pointing to, most people don't understand what that means. I did not understand what that meant when he said true religion is taking care of the widows and the orphans. And this was the same man who said, I'll show you my faith by my works. He said, faith without works is dead. Taking all that together and having a good understanding of the law of our Heavenly Father, of course, the King of Kings, is he's my king, and he has a kingdom which he preached about. He bidded everyone to come into his kingdom, but the kingdom has laws, and you voluntarily enter into that kingdom, and you voluntarily submit yourself to those laws because you love the king and you want to please the king, because the king died to pay the price for your sins. That's why we're not saved by keeping the law, but our faith is revealed by our works. Anyway, James said that true religion is taking care of the widows and the orphans, and you go back into the law, and the law for widows and orphans was quite a bit different than what people think it was. Like I said, charity begins at home, and families, according to the law of God, take care of their widows and orphans. And even Paul backed that up when they were discussing which widows should be taken care of by the church. Well, they had to be widows indeed. Use that terminology. It'd give us a little more understanding. A widow indeed, that would indeed be in need of help from the church, would be one who had no family to support her. That's right. According to the law, the family was supposed to, if a brother died, if a man died in the law of Moses, that's they call it the law of Moses, but really it's our Heavenly Father's law that he gave to Israel for his nation. If a man died and he left a widow and he left children, his brother was required by the law to take in that wife as his own wife and take in those children as his own children. And if he had no brother, or his brother was dead or could not for some reason take him in, then it went to the next of kin. You had the kinsman redeemer. And we have examples of that throughout the scripture, the kinsman redeemer. So that's what the law of widows and orphans, when James was speaking of it, that's what he was referring to. So charity begins at home, and a man who does not take care of his own is worse than an infidel. So when James was talking about, I will show you my faith by my works, that's what he was talking about. We're going to jump here into Lamentations, that time when Jerusalem was being overrun. They paid the price, the nation that stopped following the law of God. That's right. They put off his law. First of all, he gave them a government in the wilderness. And that government in the wilderness was a government of judges. It was the government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Imagine that. You know, some people call it a theocracy. Well, he was their king. That's right. The Almighty was their king. And he said, here, I'm going to give you a government where you can rule yourselves according to my law and make judgments according to my law. So they had a government of judges. You know, they had the judges of tens, the judges of fifties, the judges of hundreds, the judges of thousands. And then it went up to the supreme judge, who was Moses at the time. And also later on, they had judges who were supreme judges. They kind of made the final decision for all the cases that couldn't be decided in the lower government of the people, by the people, and for the people. But they said, well, we want a king like the other nations. So they threw off the government. And he said, okay, you know, that's what I love about our Heavenly Father, is that the kingdom of God is not a kingdom of force. We have out here, we have police forces, and they have that famous quote from that one of the first president under the Constitution, who said that government is not eloquence. He said government is not, and he said something else, but he said government is force. And he said it's a fearful, he said, yeah, it was like fire, a dangerous servant and a fearful master. And that's what government is, government of men anyway, because it is force. But in the kingdom of God, there is no force. That's right. And that's why men can go out here and do sin and do despicable things and murder and rape and pillage and kill and steal and destroy and whatever they can get away with. Whatever they can get away with without being checked by the government of force. Now, of course, the Heavenly Father, all of these governments that use force, they follow certain rules, and he has allowed them for his purpose. And Paul discussed, you know, he talked about that purpose. He said that those governments, that the purpose that our Heavenly Father has placed them here and allows them to exist to serve his purpose is to punish evildoers and reward those that do good, and of course, according to God's law. But we see that even the governments of men become perverted because they are not his government, but they are a check against rampant evil. And also they persecute the righteous at the same time. So anyway, having an understanding of how that works, that understanding comes only from the word of our Heavenly Father. The things I'm sharing with you now are things that I have gleaned from His word. And His government is a government that exists now. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's right. And it's a kingdom that covers the whole earth. And we can call it a holy nation because it is a holy nation of people. Holy means set apart. So it's a set apart people over all the earth. It transcends all the boundaries of the kingdoms of men, which use force. His kingdom is voluntary. No one is in it by force. You enter into it voluntarily through repentance. You say, and what all repentance means is that I recognize the law of the Almighty. And I recognize that the things that I have been doing are against the Almighty's law. And so I want to stop doing those things that are against His law, and I want to start living my life to please Him. That's what repentance is all about. So we show our faith by our works through repentance. And of course, that first great work is repentance. We change our mind. We have our mind renewed. And we enter into His kingdom that way, voluntarily. And we stay in His kingdom voluntarily by using repentance and learning obedience to the King and His law, because we want to please Him. And why would we want to please Him? Well, because we love Him. And why would we love Him? Well, because He loved us first, and He paid the price so that we could enter into His kingdom and receive all the gifts, including eternal life and the resurrection of the dead. And if that isn't enough reason, we fear what will happen to us. The fear of the Almighty is the beginning of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, because we fear what would happen to us if we don't learn obedience. And if you don't fear Him, then you don't understand anything. You have no wisdom and no knowledge, because His word says the fear of God, the fear of Yahuwah, the fear of the Almighty is the beginning. And without that fear, all of your knowledge, understanding, and worldly wisdom is not going to do you a bit of good when it comes to the things that are eternal and the saving of your soul. So cross the border. That's why I call my program Cross the Border. My ministry is Cross the Border. My website is crosstheborder.org. And you voluntarily cross the border through repentance and learning obedience. You stay voluntarily, stay in the kingdom of God, and you learn obedience to His law so that you can remain in His kingdom. And as the Messiah said, He said, "He who endures till the end will be saved." That's right. He who endures till the end will be saved. So you have to enter His kingdom and you have to endure in His kingdom. And yes, it is an endurance. You have to endure crucifying the deeds of the flesh. That is learning obedience and putting off all the things that are against His law to stay in His kingdom voluntarily. And you can be out of His kingdom just as fast as you entered in. Let's not kid ourselves. Let's not listen to all the purveyors of the pap of once saved, always saved, and no one will ever snatch you out of His hand, and He will never leave you or forsake you. And it was, while those things are true, He never said, "You will never leave me or forsake me." He said He would never leave you or forsake you. So if you find yourself out of His kingdom, if you stop learning obedience, He didn't leave you, He didn't forsake you, you left Him, and you forsook Him and His kingdom. Because it is a voluntary kingdom. He doesn't keep you in His kingdom by force. It is not the Soviet Union. It is not North Korea. You're allowed to leave anytime you want, because our Heavenly Father is not, the kingdom of God is not a tyranny. Nobody has to stay. Anybody can leave anytime they want. Now, you can't just come and go, you know, like you're crossing the border into Mexico and coming back the next day. You better make up your mind. You know, you cross the border into His kingdom, you better start walking the walk, or you'll be find yourself out. Don't play games. You can't straddle the line on the border of the kingdom of God with one foot in and one foot out. That doesn't work. You're a double-minded man. You're unstable in all your ways, and you're only deceiving yourself. Yes, running, walking down the aisle of the Baptist church every week. You're a straddler. You're a double-minded man if you're doing that. If you're going to the Catholic church to be absolved in a little booth every week, well, you're a double-minded man. You're unstable in all your ways. You're deceiving yourself. Cross the border into his kingdom. Obtain eternal life and endure to the end. You will be saved. Lamentations. Jeremiah writes a book called Lamentations. How doth the city sit solitary that was full of people? How is she become a widow? She that was great among the nations and princess among the provinces, how is she become tributary? Now, of course, tributary means that it pays tribute. It's become a tributary of another nation. Now, nations aren't always judged the same way. We're going back into the history of Israel. We see here, like I said, a nation that rose up in the wilderness. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? It rose up in the wilderness. It was a nation, lamb-like, based on the principles of the Bible, a government of the people, by the people, for the people, given the law of God, a nation nurtured by the very hand of God. They weren't ready. They wandered in the wilderness 40 years. He gave them a government of judges. They threw off that government and they went astray. And after hundreds of years and going through many lines of kings or a long lineage of many kings, they came to the point where they needed to be judged by the Heavenly Father. And this is the judgment that came on them. And this is how he dealt with them. Now he's dealing with America in much the same way, except are we going to be taken captive? No, we're not going to another nation and we're not going to be carried away. But he has made the people slaves in their own land. That's right. He's brought in foreigners, foreign bankers. You've heard of the Federal Reserve and Satan's monetary system, the fiat currency, usury. See, before, America had a godly monetary system. Yes, a just weight and a balance. But they have been made slaves to a usury monetary system brought in by foreigners. So rather being taken away and captive and taken into other nations, well, they just brought the captains of that other nation into us and made us slaves in our own land. So everyone is a slave now to the usury monetary system. And the judge, and everyone bought into it. Everyone's gone over to it. Everybody's got their mark of the beast. Yes, it's a government mark. It's a beast. It's a government. It's a monetary mark. You need it to buy or sell or trade in their usury monetary system. You want to borrow some money from the bankers, from the beast bankers? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you want to borrow some money? You got to have their number. You got to have their mark, their identifier. That's what it is. Otherwise, you can't participate. You'd have to join that small club of people like me who don't participate. That's right. Can't get a bank account. Couldn't get a loan to save my life. And I don't care I don't care about a credit rating, you know, and nobody can steal my identity because it's not wrapped up in a 9-digit number. That's for all the slaves out there, all the people that have been carried away, right in their own land and put into bondage through usury. How doth the city sit solitary that was full of people? How has she become a widow? She that was great among the nations. So Jerusalem was judged. The people were carried away captive, and it's solitary, and it's become a tributary of Babylon. Going back to Jeremiah's time. She weepeth sore in the night, and her tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, she hath none to comfort her. And of course, this is referring to all of the nations around her that she made treaties with. That's right. And you know, I think there was a lot of wisdom in that first president. He said, entangling alliances with none. I wonder where he got that idea. You know, I see it here that these entangling alliances with other nations only end up in disaster because they will turn their back on you, stab you in the back as soon as they can, or laugh at your calamity, which, hey, that's what's happening with America right now. Made treaties with everybody on earth, and they all hate us, and they laugh at our calamity when it comes, do they not? She weepeth sore in the night, her tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, she hath none to comfort her. Yes, they laugh at her calamity. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her and are become her enemies. This is what happens when a nation turns its back on the Almighty and it looks to the hand of flesh and other nations or lovers to take the place of the Almighty. Judah is gone into captivity because of affliction, and because of great servitude she dwelleth among the heathen. She findeth no rest. All her persecutors overtook her between the straits. The ways of Zion do mourn, because none come to solemn feasts. All her gates are desolate. Her priests sigh. Her virgins are afflicted, and she is in bitterness. Her adversaries are the chief. Her enemies prosper, for Yahuwah, the Lord, hath afflicted her for the multitude of her transgressions. Her children are gone into captivity before the enemy. We just went through Ezekiel. We've been through Jeremiah. We saw how that Babylon came in, took all the wise young men, all the fine virgins captive, and took them out of the city. And then there was a siege, and then the destruction finally came to punish all of those people that were disobedient and would not listen, even at the last, even when it was too late. And the prophets told them to surrender to the enemies to save their lives. They would not. They went down in flames with the city. You're listening to Cross the Border. We'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.